Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, I think we're back and operational.
Perfect.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
Didn't miss a beat.
They're,
no Meek Mill.
No. Yes.
That was next. Outkast would have been next on our playlist. Listen, you got a gazillion radio stations in one big room, and stuff happens technically from time to time that kind of messes us up, but we're okay.
All good.
Now, the risk of, I know we're here. I know it's Super Bowl. I know what we've got to do, and we will for almost all of the show today, but little Richie Keefe is a sad boy today, Wiggy.
I'm having a meltdown here with this Kyrie stuff. I'm having a meltdown. And here's the latest with Kyrie. So at the beginning of the season. They're at the Knicks tonight.
Right.
He's talking to the media.
Beginning of the season, Kyrie Irving made it very clear to everybody, I will be back. If you guys will have me, I will be back.
Yes.
Then the season has not gone the way that they wanted it to. He has called out the young guys often. They have not gelled together like we expected them to. He calls and apologizes to Bron. So apparently he's friends with LeBron James again.
Right.
Last night, the New York Knicks make a deal which frees up a ton of cap space. So they're going to have two max deals they can get next year. The Lakers, now he's buddy-buddy with Kyrie again. And so today, a bunch of media around, must have been shoot around. They were talking to Kyrie about his future because there's so much speculation now.
Right, but it's also because of the Porzingis thing that opens that
door.
That's
what I'm saying. So now it's the Knicks or the Lakers, and he's saying, ask me July 1st.
There's
whereas
no way.
At the beginning of the year, he said he was staying.
Listen, there is no way. No. Kyrie is not playing with LeBron James again. No, listen, LeBron James, he's so dominant as a player. Wherever you go, it's LeBron's team. And NBA players do not want, especially when you're at that level, you don't want to take a back seat. You want it to be your team.
That's why I loved Kyrie, but why did Kyrie call and apologize to him?
Well, they're flirting with each other on
Instagram.
Kyrie's apology was really for, I think it was more him saying to the young guys, hey, listen, I was you, and I did this to LeBron.
Hey, he was calling out the young guys again.
But I don't have a problem with that.
He doesn't want to stay with them.
I don't have a problem with that. You know who's got the issue? The issue is Brad Stevens. He's got to figure out a way.
I agree with that.
Danny, here, listen. Here's what you do. You make it simple. I know you can't do it till July, but you got to say to him, hey, we're going to get you Anthony Davis, Kyrie. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that would help.
We're going to get you Anthony Davis.
Do you think he resigns here, Kyrie Irving?
If they're able to get Anthony Davis here, because Kyrie.
What if they can't get Anthony Davis?
Then you're going to have some issues.
Dale, do you think he stays?
You're going to have some issues.
No, he's gone.
I now think he's going to be in L.A. playing with LeBron.
There's no way he plays.
Lakers or the Knicks.
He can go to the Knicks and play with.
Already kissed and made up.
No. But he's not taking. Listen, he's not taking a back seat to LeBron. He's not doing it. Here? Whose team is this here?
It's Kyrie's right now.
It's Kyrie's.
But they're in fifth place.
No, I know that. But if he goes and plays with LeBron, it's LeBron's team. It's LeBron's team at the end
of the game. But he's in L.A. He can make Uncle Drew too.
Yeah, but he
Boogaloo.
Can do that anyway. He doesn't need to be.
I understand that. The way
NBA is so global.
He's changed.
Listen, he said it before. I'm not going to say anything to
ask me July 1st
yeah,
today.
But he told us before. He told us he's not going to make any decision until the summertime.
No.
Yes,
he said he's coming back.
Yeah. Well, but
now he's changed it to
it was like a season tickets event. They weren't even expecting it. He's like, hey, I'll be back forever if you guys will have me. I want my jersey to Raptors.
But
now he's like, I called LeBron and I apologize.
But he's told the media that he's not really going
to
talk about it until July.
That was a
Celtics ticket event, a season ticket holder event. Make everybody feel good.
Well, he didn't have to do that though. It's going to be LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving with the Lakers.
There's no way that's happening.
That's what's
man.
Happening.
Not in the NBA. Guys don't want to do that. Guys do
what
not want
to. Guys don't want to do that. Durant wants to go play with Curry and Thompson.
And whose team is it right now? Golden State. It's Durant's team. You think Steph Curry's happy with playing?
Could be Curry's
playing,
team.
Playing second fiddle to KD.
I don't know. No. They've won back-to-back titles. Yeah, probably feels pretty good. They're about to win their third straight.
Right, but that is Kevin Durant's
DeMarcus
team.
DeMarcus Cousins decided to go be the fifth guy on
but,
that team.
But those guys don't mind taking that backseat role to
so
Kevin
Durant. Kyrie may have gotten a taste of it and said, you know what? I want to go back and be your Scottie Pippen.
You guys will have me back.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be that guy.
I plan on resigning here next year.
He don't want to be Scottie Pippen.
That was what he said.
Right, but he doesn't want to be.
He'll have me back.
But
you know what? If you're going to apologize to Bond, we don't want you back anyway.
He doesn't want to be number two. Kyrie wants to be number one. Even if Anthony Davis comes here, it's still Kyrie's team. He goes to L.A. Now, Adele, maybe New York. But
I think he could go to New York.
But maybe New York.
Maybe that's why he's saying it in New York.
Maybe
today.
New York, but there's no way.
Oh, the chants tonight are going to be obnoxious.
There's no way that Kyrie ever plays with LeBron again. Whoever plays with LeBron, it's LeBron's team. And when you're that level of status and you're that type of superstar, guys do not want to take the back seat to a guy.
You don't think Anthony Davis would want to go play with LeBron? Because I think he would.
But I think Anthony Davis is the type of player where he wouldn't mind being number two.
He's a top five player.
But
though.
I mean, on a team,
but you're saying personality.
Personality, he wouldn't mind being number two. He doesn't. You're talking about when you're talking about those guys. Would LeBron ever want to be a number two?
No.
Do you ever see LeBron playing with KD?
Well, look, yes. I do.
No.
Yes, of course. He recruited him to L.A. What are you talking about? He was trying to convince him to leave Golden State with his lockdown.
He might have been trying to convince KD.
Because LeBron's probably confident enough that he'd be the number one wherever he goes.
Right. That's my point. That's my point. And KD knows he's the number one wherever he goes. And so
unless they play together.
Right. But there can't be two alpha males. You know what I mean?
You can't have it.
It's like two pit bulls fighting over one bull. It's not happening.
Don't say that. I saw Michael Vick walking around earlier. Don't say that analogy.
Okay, it's like two.
I was walking around.
It's like two chihuahuas fighting over a bowl.
I feel better about that. That's much better.
It's not happening. I listen. I'm on the Kyrie.
So you think he's staying?
I think he's staying.
Okay,
because I
no longer do.
I think Danny's smart enough to know he doesn't want to go back to what it was like when the Celtics were just horrible, couldn't do anything. He's tasted this success. He understands. He has this team.
Well, so what they need to happen is the deadline, the NBA trade deadline is next week.
Right.
They need Anthony Davis to stay put.
Stay put.
Don't go to the Lakers.
Yes.
And then I think you have that's your best chance.
But the Lakers, I don't think the Lakers have enough to trade with New Orleans when you look at that trade, New Orleans is going to be like, oh, I like that. When you look at the Celtics.
No, if you get Tatum, I mean, that's a slam dunk.
The Celtics have the best buffet to say.
By far.
Hey, Lakers, here's the spread we can put out for you.
Well, supposedly, Danny has told New Orleans, anybody but Kyrie, tell us what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm with him on that one.
And that's what it should be.
Right. Package whoever you want. Package up whoever you want, and I think if you're in New Orleans, you look at that.
That's way better.
You look at that package,
but giving up both Tatum and Brown.
If you have to,
yeah.
If you got to,
Davis
listen,
is 26.
20. He's going to turn 20, 26 in March.
So come on,
the dude is legit top five player in the league. He plays with Kyrie. Now he doesn't mind being the second fiddle. It's still Kyrie's team.
And you still have Marcus Smart. You still have Al Horford. You still have, for better or worse,
Gordon
Hayward.
Right, but I think when you have those two guys, you can, build pieces around them. You know what I mean? You can find
those two guys, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, right, and then you can find those pieces around them. And,
yeah.
But there's no way he's going to L.A. and playing with
LeBron. He might go to the Knicks. That's
the Knicks. But if he goes to the Knicks, it's still his team.
It's his team and it sucks.
Unless he goes with Durant, then it's Durant's team. That's a rumor.
He's not doing that, though.
He might.
But you already know Kyrie. We've heard Kyrie talk.
He's changed.
He
apologized.
No, but Kyrie wants to be the number one, right?
Yeah.
He wants to be the alpha male on the team. And if you play with Durant or you play with LeBron, you are not that guy.
All right, so maybe Jimmy Butler. Maybe Kawhi Leonard.
Kyrie goes to New York?
Yeah. They could right now, without even doing anything, because of the Porzingis deal,
right.
They could just sign two guys at over $30 million each. They could bring them both in.
But do you think Kyrie and Jimmy Butler's enough?
No, I personally don't think it's enough, but they're best buds, apparently, and that's how the league works.
I think Kyrie realizes that It's about winning a championship, and the only way he can do that is in the East, and if he has an Anthony Davis.
Yeah. So that's the key. So trade deadline, you pray that he doesn't go to the Lakers.
Yeah,
then you keep the dream alive.
What is it? 10 days, right? It's 10 days.
The seventh.
I pray every night till the seventh. Please.
It's a week. It's a week away.
Yeah.
All right.
Please, Anthony, do not go to the Lakers.
So now, Thursday we'll have our trade deadline bonanza show.
Now Charles Barkley just blasted Anthony Davis. He got fined by the league $50,000, which doesn't mean anything. I mean, the $50,000.
No, they don't care about that.
I think Darren Revelle said it would be like the average American being fined $86. if you compare.
I'd still be pissed.
So Anthony Davis, makes it known through his agent, wants to be traded. Charles just lit him up.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm kind of with Charles.
Why, though? Why? Well, because the guy wants a trade.
The guy's under contract.
So what? He plays for.
And he's going to go out there and publicly. I really want to. I want to go play with him now.
But if you listen, if your organization or your front
office,
you know
what I do? I trade him to the worst team I could trade him.
But if this is the thing I wouldn't expect it from Charles, because as a former player, like if your organization is not doing what they're supposed to be doing to put pieces around you and help you be competitive and win a championship, then you have the right as a superstar in that sense, or any player, to go, I don't want to be here.
When you're a free agent, you can do whatever you want. You're under contract. You're collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, but the front office people have no problem with crapping on players all the time, or coaches have no problem with crapping on players all the time. So now when a player does it and goes, hey, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing to help us win. Now it's an issue because the player said it. I'm with Anthony Davis on this one. Dude, if they're not doing what's right for you, hey, I want out of here. Kevin Garnett told him to do that. Remember, Kevin's like, listen, don't stay there.
Well, the real problem, too, I mean, because Anthony Davis and LeBron have the same agent.
Right.
Rich Paul, so he's pulling the strings on all of these different things.
But even if they have the same agent, so it's going to come down to, it's going to come down to the trade. And
they need to get the right thing. But then they also can negotiate it, because Anthony Davis has 1 year left on his deal.
Right.
So any team can trade for him. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but he can tell them, I'm not going to re-sign here. So then suddenly you're not going to give up a lot
but
for
do
1 year.
If you're Anthony Davis, right?
Yes.
Do you think Golden State's going anywhere?
I got to wait and see if Durant leaves next year.
Yeah, and see, I don't necessarily know if Durant's leaving. I think Durant, I don't know if he's necessarily leaving. Now, here, my thing is this, right? If you can't get Anthony Davis, then I pray to the basketball gods again. Maybe for somehow you can get KD to come play.
Oh, come on.
All right, let's hear Charles.
Okay, good.
And you already disagree
with
me.
This is good,
though. Let's hear what Charles had to say.
We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super teams. Adam Silver needs to say, Anthony Davis, we love you.
You can't have players?
We can't have players dictating who going to play together.
But they – time out.
So how'd you get
here? As a player.
I got traded.
Right. So, but I'm saying as a player.
You demanded that trade.
No, I didn't. You're saying as a player.
I don't like the fact.
Another player couldn't say, man, I would love to play with you one day, man. Let's get the, if you want to do it, I'm ready
for
it.
That's not what they're doing right now, Kenny. They're stacking the team. The agents, guys are sharing agents. They're stacking team.
What's Shaq saying?
How'd you get to Houston?
Right. You played with Akeem Olajuwon.
And Clyde. And then they try to get Pippen there.
Right.
Like, a lot of these older guys, not even that old, but the guys that played in the 90s that say, oh, I'd never do this. First of all, some of them did.
Right. Gary Payton,
Karl Malone. They all played with the Lakers at the end. Like, they've definitely tried. Now, the difference is a lot of those guys did it at the end chasing a ring rather than doing it in their prime. And because they all freaked out when LeBron and Wade and Bosch got together. But the Celtics, and it was trades, but they got Garnett and Allen. And I understand it was trades. Mm-hmm. It was Danny Ainge doing a great job. But Garnett doesn't agree to come to the Celtics unless they got Ray Allen to begin with. Like, so he wanted to make sure it was going to be a loaded team. So I don't know how you fix it. I don't think super teams are that bad for the league, though.
Well, but that in basketball, that's how you have to win. The days of the Detroit Pistons from what year was that?
When 04.
It was Rasheed Wallace. And those days are long gone. Chauncey Billups, where you can get, five good players that you could say,
you need 2.5 superstars.
Yeah, exactly. And and Charles, right? Charles went to Houston. He played
at the end, though. Like, if he went earlier, it might have been a little different story.
Right. If he would have said, maybe I can bypass going to Phoenix and I could play somewhere else.
Right.
But you have to do that. And these players know that. For me, I just want a guy who's going to say, I didn't like what KD did. KD, he was one of the top two.
With Westbrook. Like, he was in a good spot.
Right. He was one of the top two players, and he said, you know what? I'm going to the best team.
Right.
Like, I don't mind players saying, hey, let's try to build a team and see what we can do. Like, if you can get Kyrie and you can get Anthony Davis, now you could say we could build a team.
But just jumping onto a wagon.
And the way to go is through the East anyways. That's Kyrie should know that. If I can get one more player of an Anthony Davis caliber, I can now get to an NBA Finals.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. By the way, Daron Harmon will not join us today. The media responsibilities are done.
I was going to say, he's talked probably enough.
He'll be with us next week.
Okay.
Win or lose, he'll join us next week. Our conversation today with Daron would have been brought to you by New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. We're live on Radio Row in Atlanta. It's Dale and Keefe with Jermaine Wiggins, Sports Radio W.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
BEI.
It could not be done.
No one should expect this team to go on the road in the postseason and win even one game.
I think they're done.
The beginning of the end for the Patriots dynasty.
I think it means they ain't going to the Super Bowl.
Phillip Rivers is
going
to win the game.
The Patriots get blown out and the dynasty dies.
The New England Patriots, let's face it, they're not good anymore.
That was when this dynastic Brady Belichick run ended.
The reign of terror will finally be over.
No, everyone thinks we suck, can't win any games. So
I'm tired of all this winning.
Still here.
Their eighth straight AFC championship game.
They're going to their third straight Super Bowl.
It has been 94 long days since Boston's last world championship.
Thankfully, it's over. The Red Sox have won the world championship.
Listen to the Patriots' quest to end our title drought on Boston's home of championship calls.
It is a touchdown.
Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
617-779-7937. You're on Radio Row in Atlanta. Dale and Keith and Jermaine Wiggins is with us as well. Kevin Harlan, that voice that you heard screaming touchdown there a few moments ago, will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. One of the great play-by-play announcers in the country. And
he's done a few Super Bowls.
He's setting a record this year.
I think he might be.
For the most Super Bowls called. We'll talk to Kevin in the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get back to the calls with you guys right now. Jerome is in Scituate. Hey, Jerome, how are you?
Hey, Dale, Rich, Wiggy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Listen, I got two comments I want to make. Let me get to my main one after I tell you what we're doing down here in Scituate. We're starting a grassroots campaign to make it so a regular coach like Scar could be coach of the year, okay? But anyway, here's my point that I want to make. Wiggy, you and Dale and Rich were talking about Edelman, you know, how close he is with his figures and stuff. You're talking about making big catches and stuff and the trust Brady has. You know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of this guy in the snow that played his butt off, Wiggy. You know who I'm thinking of?
Who's that?
You. Wiggy, that was the game of a lifetime you played.
Yeah, it was. It was a good one.
Brady, it was. What is it about bad weather with you? You're hard to knock down.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody slows down, so now...
You must have big wide feet, like snowshoes.
No, I never was that fast, so, right. Everybody came down on my speed, you know? It was like, everybody's like, you know, they're like, it's running in quicksand. Now I'm like, oh, now I'm actually fast.
Here we go.
Yeah.
At what point in that game, going all the way back to the snow game, did you realize, all right, I am going to be a big part of the – like the way – was it the weather and it was sort of the routes that you were running?
No, it's just
like,
the game. As the game flowed, that's the thing about this Patriots offense. You never know, like – are you going to be that guy from week, you know, from week to week?
Yeah.
You unless you're like the Edelman.
Well, Edelman, but like James White's a good example where he had a few games this year where he had like 10 catches and then he'd be back down to like four. And you're like, well, what's the difference?
Right. So you never know if you're going to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's always you have to, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready in a sense. You just go out there and then as the flow of the game goes, now it's all of a sudden, you know, Brady's coming to you. Brady's coming to you. And then before you know it, you have 10, 9, you know, 11, 12 catches. And you're like, you're that guy in that game. And then the next week, it's you got one catch. So you just
right.
It's just the
how
way.
How did you do the next week?
I think I had two catches or one catch against Pittsburgh. But it's just the flow of the game. And that's kind of how it is. If the defense is dictating for Tom to go here with the ball, and that happens to be where I'm at, then it becomes, you know, that becomes the opportunity that I have to take advantage.
Tomorrow is the picture day. Mm-hmm. It's the team picture day, and the families are all involved. It's about as low-key as Bill Belichick ever gets, isn't it?
What do you mean by that?
Like, I mean the families are all around, and, you know, the wives and the kids and the and he seems to really revel in it. He loves it.
Well, he loves that point of it, but he also still is Bill within the coaching. When you get real Bill, like I like to call it, like is when you're like myself, Christian, Matt, you know, Willie, and we go back to some of these reunions and we're able to meet up with them. And afterwards, you know, when we had our 15th year anniversary for the 2001 Super Bowl, that's when he can, you know, because he's not thinking about the game. He's not, you know, it's just reveling in, you know, all the memories and the experiences, you know, kind of like throughout his career. And because Bill has the greatest stories ever about like players, and you don't get those until you're actually done with your career. And when you're done with your career, you kind of can feel a little bit like, whew, I can finally say something to Bill.
Yeah, you can talk to him like a person.
I can finally go, Bill. Yeah. I can finally go, Bill, you made a mistake for letting me go.
See, So I got the Jermaine Wiggins playoff game log.
Oh, here we go.
Up here. So you played in 9 playoff games.
Yeah, I played in
with
a couple.
New England, Carolina, and Minnesota.
Right.
What do you think your record was in 9 playoff games?
Oh, I think I was pretty good. I think I was pretty good because I
Well, you started out real strong.
I was going to say, you started out. You couldn't
right,
have done
and then I went
better.
To another Super Bowl.
You did.
All right, and then, so I don't know, but I think it's, like, pretty good. I only maybe 3 losses.
No, 7-2.
7-2, okay.
7-2.
Wow.
Because 3-0 with the Patriots.
Yes.
And then you went 3-1 with Carolina.
Yeah.
And then you went 1-1 with Minnesota.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So you followed up the snow game, 2 catches against Pittsburgh, and then you had 2 catches in the Super Bowl against the Rams.
Yeah, and that's just the way it plays
that's
out.
That's just how it was.
Yeah, that's
big J.R. Redmond game. In the
And that's, like I said, that's the great thing about the offense, but that's why you always have to be prepared because you never know when it's going to be your time.
The other thing I wanted to ask for, because you obviously played a lot of big games. I mean, the Snow Bowl is a huge game. The AFC Championship game is a huge game. But when you're on the field in the Super Bowl for the first time, you've played in front of sellout crowds before.
Right.
But is there a different feeling like this, or is it just, hey, this is a big game?
There is a different feeling because of all the hoopla that's...
Yeah, there must be.
There is a different feeling. I remember it was the Super Bowl 38 Super Bowl in Houston, and we were just, like, on the field practicing, like, on a Thursday or something like that, and Beyonce is just kind of walking around getting ready to do, like, you know...
Yeah, right.
Like, mic check or whatever.
Yeah.
And... It's like,
wait a minute,
you know, it's you know, and it was the same thing in first Super Bowl, like during the national anthem, they're singing. I'm like, for, you and I are sitting, you know, a few feet away from each other, and I'm standing a few feet away from Mariah Carey while she's performing the national anthem. So you like that, all that hoopla and things of that nature.
And like, do you realize like how many million people are watching?
Like, you realize it's like the biggest game, and what you try to do, and it's very difficult to do, especially in your first one, is you try to not let the moment be so big that it affects your performance.
Yeah, 'cause like you could psych yourself out, couldn't you?
Yes.
Like a lot of these guys, they played at big colleges, so they played in front of big crowds, they played in front of, and they know there's a lot of people. But you said this is going to be the most watched television event of the entire year. You could probably drive yourself
crazy.
Right,
but even if you play in front of a ton of people, Rich,
it's different.
It's not like the Super Bowl.
Right. No, of course not.
It's like, And the thing that gets you is like this: the time between halftime is longer because of the performances, and the beginning is long. So you have to kind of like. And I remember Willie McGinnis saying to Tom in the tunnel, like, calm down, because he was going crazy and nuts. And he's a fiery guy, but he was headbutting people and was like,
you got to calm down.
It felt like it was Lattimore and now the program. he just
place
made
the table.
Starting defense. And it was like, Tom, like, you know, you're over there headbutting linebackers
you're
before
like,
the
calm
game.
Calm down. Take a breath.
Right. And so that moment, it's such a great feeling. And that's like the thing you have to kind of relax yourself, because if not,
right.
You find yourself like getting out of breath. You find yourself having a cotton mouth, and you're like,
yeah.
And that was in that situation to Teddy that they played in '96, where they were like, but it's okay, calm down.
Yeah, right.
You know, but if you can have a couple of, it's not like the
just say exactly what you just said a minute ago and pretend that nobody else heard it.
Yeah, because nobody else did. My point was
right.
Don't you have to fight sitting there in the locker room in the Super Bowl stadium at 8 o'clock in the morning, staring at the walls?
You do, but at the end of the day, you understand. It's like to say in the Monday night, like you're talking about Monday night football. Guys really don't. Guys love Monday night and Sunday night football because they know it's the main stage. Everybody's watching.
Right.
You know, you got to deal with. Okay, I'm not getting to the stadium till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm in my hotel room. I'm wired. I'm ready to go. But you know, once you get there. Everybody in the country's watching, and that's the main stage. Now you get to perform in front of everybody. The Sunday 1 o'clock games, yeah, they're great, but it's like
regional.
Nobody's watching, but when you get that opportunity, you don't have to play every week on Monday Night Football. But it's just like so. We're on the main stage.
Yeah, and you can tell the players that thrive off that more so.
Right, you fight through those hours. You're sitting there and you're like twiddling your thumbs and you're like, all right, Jesus, you're looking at your clock. It's all right. It's 8:30 now. You go, oh my God, it's only been 15 minutes. You got to try to like maybe watch movies or take your mind out of it a little bit. That's what I used to do.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Kevin Harlan next hour. We'll get right back to the calls with you. Dale and Keith, live on Radio Row with Jermaine Wiggins, Sports Radio W.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
B-E-I.
Patriots, Rams. Listen to the game Sunday right here. Now back to Dale and Keefe at Radio Row on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
You've already shown us Tom Brady's not throwing the ball over 10 yards. You're showing us that.
So who wins in your mind?
Oh, man, I got to go with the Rams 27-24.
And you know what? You picked against the Patriots last week, too, didn't you?
I picked against them for the last 5 years.
Keep being you. It's not often we get to play songs by Mr. Ass, but it's good when we get the opportunity. So yesterday, there was an article in the Boston Globe. We talked about it. We thought it was ridiculous. What's his name? Duggan.
I think you got it.
That's his first name. I can't remember the last name. Anyway,
Hensworth.
The basis of the article was that there's a lack of excitement about the Patriots around New England.
Right. Too much winning.
Now, this is the exact same guy, Wiggy, who 2 years ago wrote an article, said the interest in the Patriots is down because of Donald Trump.
Right.
And now he's starting to, now it's too much winning.
Too much winning.
Clearly, he didn't see the rally.
He didn't mention the rally. He didn't. Shockingly, in the article.
But interestingly enough, his boss did. His boss, John Henry, took to Twitter, and he doesn't do this a lot, to be honest with you.
He has 543 tweets ever.
He's got 474,000 followers.
Right.
I'm not one of them. But anyway.
Oh, damn.
He put out two tweets about an hour ago. First one says, "How ridiculous is the article questioning excitement about the Patriots this week?" Media has questioned and doubted Pats all year. It reminds me of their absurd labeling of this Red Sox edition as an unlikable team for an entire year. Second tweet says, there isn't a sport in the world in which winning leads to disinterest. The streets of New England look like a barren Twilight Zone episode when they are playing, more so than ever. He's right. There is not a single winning team in the world.
Well, now, UConn women's hoops.
but among UConn women's hoops fans,
it's the same. No, yes. For the Patriots, it didn't make any sense. There was no strong point in the article. There was a couple of,
I wonder what Duggan thinks when he reads his boss's tweet.
Like, whoops.
Right, and there was one, and we made fun of this, because there was one guy that they got Kubitschek is his last name. I think Andrew or Dave or whatever his first name. Yeah. He goes, he's a diehard Minnesota Vikings fan that's been living in New England for 4 years.
Good guy to interview.
And it's been pretty tame. To me, where the story loses the credibility is when when there's an event, a send-off rally, where it's the biggest rally out of probably all the send-offs that the
Patriots... It doubled in size from a year ago.
Right. And so when you see that with your own eyes and you hear it and you know it, and you then come up with a story like this, you right then and there, you come off as a fraud with no credibility. Because now you're just, why are you doing this? What's the purpose of it?
But you can tell why John Henry responded, because...
Bob Kraft.
Well, yeah, and they're looking at it and
saying,
really?
The perception here is there's this rivalry between John Henry and Bob Kraft.
It's a jealousy.
Right, that's what the
Red Sox versus Patriots, but it doesn't really have to be. But it seems like of all the... And there's been negative stuff written about the Patriots in a lot of different places, but stuff and just, an article like this that you saw yesterday, and you're saying, are they just trying to prop up the Red Sox? And so that's why it takes the owner of both the Globe and the Red Sox to try to come out and say, no. Like, I don't endorse this.
Right.
Whether or not he did to begin with or not, I don't know, but at least in the aftermath, he's saying, I will say this.
I mean, the good news, if from a journalistic point of view, is you would like to think that John Henry doesn't have any control over what they write.
Right.
You would like
to
think that it should be independent.
Whatever they want.
Right. Now, I'm not sure if these two tweets convinces people of that, but he very critically talked about an article in his paper that ran yesterday and saying it's absurd.
Right. Well, but I think that's good for him, because the article is so, like, you brought up the best buddies thing, all right? They're taking shots at this, that, and the other, and that's an article where they're going after Brady and what he's doing, and they're kind of putting some facts in there and that kind of thing. But when you write an article like this, right, you're not writing this article based on any factual opinion that facts that you might have. This is clearly for some underlining reason, whether you're trolling, whether you're just like that.
Because that article about the Red Sox never would have made it to print. Like, if somebody wrote the exact same thing after they won the World Series, like, this one was good, but it wasn't 2004, and, people are kind of burnt out, and the team's not likable, like, that wouldn't be.
And especially when the Red Sox, if they would have a send-off rally that had doubled from the year prior.
So that's
where the fraudulent comes in, because you see, like, we all see it in Boston. We see, I think more than anything, the Patriots fans are in this all-time high of they want to win. This is their third straight Super Bowl. There's no Super Bowl fatigue whatsoever.
Not at all. And there's even a little bit of, could this be it? I feel like there's even more buzz around this year than last year, because this year's a little bit more improbable. And on top of it, Gronk could retire, Devin McCourty could retire, all these guys could be leaving. And you say, all right, well, how many more of these are you going to get? So I don't see or feel the fatigue one bit.
No.
I also think that what John Henry wrote about, which is also true, is there was a storyline throughout the summer, perpetuated in large part by sports talk radio, that the Red Sox were an unlikable team. They really weren't.
Well, they were for a while.
Dustin Pedroia wasn't there all year.
No, but Price.
David Price wasn't unlikable this year.
Yes, he was.
Not as much as the year before.
Oh, my God, he was worse.
By the way, he's changing his number.
Yeah, so they can retire Manny's, which is good.
Is that why they're doing it?
Yes,
do you
I better be.
Well, I don't think
the price was unlikable.
I don't think this team maybe was unlikable this year, but there was definitely the individual of Price being.
Oh,
unlikable.
Some guys were. There are guys unlikable on every team.
Which
the
team was the man.
Was not unlikable.
I've always loved David Price. I think he's the man, and I've always backed him.
What? Is that
I've
right?
always backed him. Yes.
We'll find tape where
you're
wrong.
Stop. You like Mikel Roby Coleman? So don't.
I do like. I know, but I have a problem with it.
You can find tape of me talking about David Price on Nesson and saying how he was going to have a huge, huge postseason.
So when he was complaining about, you know, the grass and cats and dogs, he's allergic to everything, he's backing out, starts getting shelled by the Yankees, you were like, oh, I got faith in this guy. I like him.
I did. Even when everybody was always a Fortnite. He's playing.
Yeah, carpal tunnel because of Fortnite.
Well, you know what? I think the guy has taken, you know, some criticism that he deserves, but that's
okay.
That's fine.
It was a great postseason run.
I would think that when you look at the hate for the Red Sox, I don't think it was as bad this year. I don't think they
were. This year was better.
They were a pretty likable team.
Yes.
This year was better, and I think the manager had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a big change, because that's the guy you hear a million times during the year, before and after every game. He does like a radio interview every week. Like, you hear him all the time, and he was a much better representative of the team.
And the thing that I think, John Henry had to do that. He had to come out with those two tweets, because if he didn't, then they, like you said, this already seems like there's this underlining jealousy between the Red Sox.
Does there need to be a feud? Does there need to be a Patriots Red Sox feud? I feel like everybody's a fan of both.
Right. There doesn't need to be a feud. It's like we should be embracing each other. It's like, you know what? Hey, when the Red Sox are doing well, if we're Patriots, we want to be at the games, and no different than
when the Red Sox won the World Series. They had the trophy down at Gillette Stadium. The duck boat come into the stadium.
Right.
If the Patriots win Sunday, they're coming out from under the flag opening day.
That's what we did. So it was like you.
There's a good motivation.
Right,
on both
it's
sides.
It's like you feel proud when you're in the city and you play for an organization. Right. And they do. It's the same with the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
The Celtics they plan, and you see Kraft on courtside, and it's like there's this pride there of being part of it. Now the only team that really doesn't do any of that is, I'm sorry to say, is the Bruins. Because, I mean, we got to kind of get them to come up to speed a little bit more. It's hard to get a ticket to that game.
Yes.
They're at the same place the Celtics are at.
They've got
one championship in this whole run,
yeah, but
same
as
the Celtics.
I just think that, like, these teams should be embracing it. By John Henry coming out and doing this, I think what he's saying is going, you know what? I know there's this underlining kind of feud that we don't like each other, but it's wrong.
Because wouldn't some think that, oh, he must really like this?
Yes.
Right, and so that's another reason
a lot of
why
people thought it wouldn't have run if he didn't like it.
Right. And so that goes back
to that. May or may not be true, by the way.
Right, and that's another whole journalistic thing where, like, the owner of the paper shouldn't agree with every single article
written.
Right,
and
he probably doesn't see
every article.
No,
right?
I would hope not.
Yeah, can imagine they got a pass by John Henry's desk.
No, but so just from the outside, you look at it like, of course it's a Globe article, and Henry must love this, where he's at least, after some of the pushback, he's coming out and saying, no. Like,
right.
Trying to separate himself a little bit from it.
Which is a smart move. But you would think that the editor who sees this story goes,
you sure?
Wait a second.
Yeah,
hold on.
You sure?
Didn't you try this 2 years ago?
Right,
yeah.
Right, and I was just watching Sunday every local station and channel and this send-off rally that the Pats had.
There's no evidence, because we get the emails every week, Dale, where this is the highest rated 1 o'clock game in like 10 years. This is the highest 4 o'clock game. This is the highest game of the year. This is the highest. Like every single, they broke a bunch of records.
Curtis said that the KC game did like a 50 something, some ridiculous stuff. It was like you know one of the most watched games.
It would be really impossible, I think, to be more popular. Like, I think they've almost maxed out how popular they could be.
I was surprised, but probably pleasantly surprised, to see John Henry come out and say what he said. And, in effect, criticize what was on the pages of his own paper.
Yeah. I think it's a great move by him, because he's not catching a lot of heat, but the Globe is catching a lot of heat for this article.
Yeah, the Globe does, but then he's just, you immediately connect the dots to him, and you think that he was
But
he
now
was
by him
it.
Coming out, it's like, oh, okay.
It just feels like this week is all about The Celtics. Well, about Kyrie Irving. This whole week's about Kyrie Irving.
It is true.
This whole week is about the Patriots, and you see the Red Sox who are coming off a World Series, and the baseball offseason is an absolute snore, so
right. There's
not a whole lot going on there. And it seems like with an article like that, that's like, hey, guys, like, don't forget about
right.
us. And you're like, but, well, now's not really the time.
But you got to understand, right? Let's be honest. Baseball people are sensitive.
They are.
They're sensitive because they
sensitive group.
They know that they used to have the America's pastime, right?
Yeah.
They had that sport.
Right.
But
football
it's not only passed you, but it's lapped you.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. About an hour from now, we'll talk to Kevin Harlan, who will be the radio voice of the Super Bowl on Westwood One and heard here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Dale and Keefe live on Radio Row with Jermaine Wiggins, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.